Can you describe for me what it was like to be on the front lines of the Cuban Missile Crisis and an order away from firing a missile that could start World War III?
It was probably the most challenging assignment that I had in my 20 years of service, knowing that if I were to fire the first missile, I would be the single individual that started World War III, if there would be a World War III, because back in those days, because of the nuclear weapons or proliferation of the Soviet Union, they had a retaliatory capability so that our missiles would actually pass each other in the air, theoretically, or destroy each other on the way to their respective targets. And bear in mind that a nuclear weapon does not have the ability to separate the good guys from the bad guys. So it would be a total holocaust. You know, the Sun Sentinel referred to it as Armageddon, and that's precisely what that would be. And those 13 days for me were on the front lines with my missiles at battle stations, prepared to fire within 1 minute.
How close did we come, Dr. Mack?
Well, my sight came very close. I had one target that did not have a friendly symbol over it, which meant I began to follow my rules of engagement. Fortunately for the aircraft and for me, it was identified by the Air Force before I fired.
Dr. Mack, your story is amazing, that you were on the precipice of history there, and you really were, you know, part of history. How does it feel to know that you were a witness to that kind of history?
Well, I never gave it much thought, because to me that was just a part of my duty. I didn't look upon it as being historical from my perspective, as I did of being historical from the viewpoint or standpoint of the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. He delivered a knockout punch to Nikita Khrushchev. Khrushchev held on to the last minute, and the President said, if you don't take him out, we're going to attack. And he wasn't bluffing. You see, we were all willing to die for our country because we knew that our missile site, among others, were probably targeted by the Soviet Union as a part of their retaliatory plans, as some of their key cities and installations were targeted by ours. Just remember, though, my mission was not targeted on cities. It was oriented on aircraft.
Wow, I'm hanging on every word. Now you live in South Florida, you live in Sunrise. Do we have a special connection here in South Florida, and what would you think this area have been like if we had gone to war?
Totally annihilated.
First place to go?
One of the first. But you see, nuclear retaliation was based upon immediate response. And your installations, installations here were prime targets, as any missile base would be.
But I guess in the fog of war, if we were talking about nuclear holocaust, there would be no way to remember who actually got hit first.
No, there wouldn't be anybody around to talk about it.
So what do you tell your family about what happened 50 years ago when they ask you, you know, I don't know if you have grandchildren, but do they come up to you, do your family members come up to you and say, hey, can you tell us a story? And what story would you tell them?
Well, first of all, no one even knew about it. And I doubt if any of my friends knew about my role back during the Cuban Missile Crisis, because everything was so highly classified back then, you simply didn't talk about it. And psychologically, that, you know, restraint from talking about the crisis remained with me throughout the years.
Wait, so you didn't tell your family any of this until now? They had no idea?
No, because the family I have now is not the family I had back then. My spouse then is deceased, and the daughter has gone her own way. So my life has totally changed since I left the missile base.
Wow.
And I only told you some of the things that I had done or have done in Dade County. But again, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It certainly sounds that way. Can you, before I let you go, Dr. Mack, can you just tell us one particular story or two, and I'll just let you talk here, about what you remember, specific remembrances of what it was like those 13 days in October, and, you know, something mundane, any moment that just pops to your head. I'd just love to hear you describe and summarize it for me.
Well, first of all, I'm a little fellow. I weigh less than 140 pounds. And during that 13-day period, I lost 18 pounds from simply stress. Back in those days, children in schools were dropping cover, an exercise that they would do and get under their desk, not knowing that it would be futile in the event of an attack anyway, but they did it. As a missile-based commander, I had 28 sets of quarters for the families of my enlisted men who were married. I had an empty magazine below ground that I outfitted with food, water, and other living necessities for them to occupy in the event that we went to war. And I had practice drills of those families moving down underground just to be sure that it worked and to ensure that I had outfitted properly. And on base, we had theater, hobby shop, chapel, and all of the other amenities that above ground that our families would love to have. So I was proud of the fact that we were prepared to save our families, even though we might become casualties ourselves. And I remember I received a call from the mayor of Carlton, and he asked me, "Captain Mack, what is happening? I see you have missiles above ground." And I will tell you, seeing 4 41-foot Nike Hercules missiles painted totally white, pointed skyward above ground is a formidable and frightening sight. And as I sat before my command console, I could only imagine what it would be like to launch that first missile. And I thank God that I didn't have to. And the one thing about that missile system, it was only limited by the range of the radar and computer systems. It could have reached Havana. So toward the end of my tour, I learned that that site was going to be taken over by the National Guard. And all I could think about is, good luck and God bless you. I'm out of here. And I left there and went to the Commanding General Staff College and ultimately wind up assigned to the Pentagon, from where I retired on August 31st, 1968, and moved to Florida in February 1971.
I have one final thing to just ask you, and that's, does it feel good to get this all off your chest? Because I know you said you didn't talk about it for a long time.
Yes, it does. It does. And much of which I still can't talk about.
Dr. Mack, I can't tell you what an honor and a pleasure it was, sir, to talk with you. Thank you for your service, and thanks for your great story.
You're welcome. It's been my pleasure.